Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Yes, it's 3GT time, and we are very glad that you have joined us. This is Barry York, a professor at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I am joined once again by our faithful parishioner. He's always in church, Scott Hunt, my friend and attorney from Marion, Indiana. How are you today, Scott?
I'm doing well. The weather, I understand the weather's pretty bad in Pennsylvania. It's really bad here. So it's just been kind of a pretty snowfall, but it's a lot of snow.
Oh, well, you're getting the snow. I'm actually sitting here hoping I can continue to podcast and not lose power because we're really getting bit with the ice and trees are dripping with icicles and things of that nature. So we might have to really hurry this up and get it recorded before power goes out.
I would take snow over ice any day.
Yes, yes, me as well. It kept me home today, actually. It's interesting, the bands down in Pittsburgh, it was raining, but I sent the staff a picture of me scooting along my driveway, shuffling along because it was just a sheet of ice. So,
did you send that to Kyle and me?
I can. I will.
I think it'd be good to see.
Yes, well, I'll do that. It's nothing much, just a picture of my feet shuffling along.
Kind of funny. The old man that you are.
Yes, that's right. Well, we did have a topic set for today, and yet we're going to set it aside, which is what my mind was going to for the day, because often 3GT isn't the place where you go to fast breaking news and getting the scoop on something that's happening, but I just discovered something that I thought was well worth spending an episode on, and it is exciting news, and that news is that our very own parishioner, Scott Hunt, is actually going to be, and tell me if I've got this office correct, he's going to run to be the prosecuting attorney for Grant County. Is that correct?
That is correct. Elected prosecutor of Grant County is what I'm running for.
Yes. And you may have heard us in the past talking about Scott as a prosecuting attorney is, but it's in an assistant capacity. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct. I'm a deputy. So it's, you know, you have a sheriff and then you have the deputies out there doing the some of the other work. And that's what I've been doing. But I am running for the actual elected position.
And you just filed in the last 24 hours, if that's correct, from the text I remember.
It has been about 30 hours now. I filed yesterday before the snowstorm hit.
Yes.
I had to travel down to Indianapolis to do that. So I left in the morning and did that and got back before the snowfall began.
And explain that process just a little bit to us. I've never done that.
And I hadn't either. and this is totally new for me. I don't have all the answers. This is not something that I ever thought I would be doing. But in order to become a candidate, you have to file three things. The first is a statement of economic interests. So I filed that. That's the first thing you have to file.
What does that mean? Economic interest.
So if, let's say I owned a bunch of stock in a company.
Oh, you're economic. Okay.
I have to declare that. And not that it's wrong, but just so they make sure that there's no ethical issues.
Right.
Like any gifts that you get over a certain amount of money from people who are not in your family. So as much as I would have liked the gifts from 3GT listeners, I'm glad you didn't do it because it would have been a long list. And so it's important for me to say I do not get compensated for this work because I have to list all other places I get compensated for work I do. This is not one of those. I get compensated with treasure in heaven, but I don't think I have to declare that.
And you're talking about your work here on 3GT.
On 3GT, yes.
It's just a good reminder to our audience that we do not get compensated for this. We just do this out of the desire to minister and the joy of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, I enjoy talking to you. And believe it or not, I enjoy talking to Kyle. you know, it is a good time for me. I love to do it. So that's the first document I have to file. Then I had to go down to Indianapolis because prosecuting attorney is considered a judicial position. So I had to go down to Indianapolis and file my notice of intent of candidacy. So I did that. And then I have to file a committee finance report. So I have to set up a finance committee and all that good stuff and report all of that. So those are the process that it takes. But it's interesting, the number of people who, when I have told them, are like, oh yeah, I kind of expected that from you, or I'd hope to have heard that. And you've heard this name before. I've said it on here. He's the reason I'm on 3GT. And I'm blaming Jason Thoman for this one as well. Jason, if you listen to this, I love you, but stop being a prognosticator. Years ago, we were standing in the basement of Sycamore Reformed Presbyterian Church. I had just become an attorney, and Jason looks at me and says, "You should be the prosecuting attorney."
Wow.
And to be honest with you, it was the furthest thing from my mind. That's not where I thought the Lord was leading me. But alas, here
you were in defense before, right?
Well, I was civil. Yes, I was civil. It wasn't criminal defense. It was just a lot of civil work.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, being a prosecutor it is a job, but to do it well and to do it right, you can't view it as a job. It has to be a calling placed on your heart. And that's where I am at this point in time. I'm doing this because I feel called to do it. The Lord has, in his providence, aligned things such that I feel like I have to do it. I've told some people I feel a little bit like Moses when the Lord confronted him at the burning bush and said, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh." And what was Moses's reaction? "Can't you send somebody else, Lord?" And that has been my reaction for a very long time. "Lord, can't you send somebody else? Please send somebody else. There's somebody who's better. There's somebody who's smarter. There's somebody who's more eloquent. Can't you send Kyle Borg? Because he fits the bill." But, you know, just like the Lord did with Moses, he said, "No, you're my man." And so I'm just trusting in the Lord for this. Win or lose, I'm okay. This is the Lord's world. This is the Lord's position, not man's. And so he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Well, you couldn't have picked a better model for a prosecuting attorney than Moses. I mean, that's what he went into Pharaoh's courts and did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he eventually won the judgment. So, mm-hmm. Well, this is exciting. So we are really announcing Scott Hunt for prosecuting attorney in Grant County. I feel like we're starting his campaign here.
That's right. Scott J. Hunt.
Scott, oh, sorry. Yes, that's right. We can't mix you up with a sports writer.
That's right. You know about that.
Yeah, we talked about it on a previous episode. And he's in Marion, right? The sports writer writes
for the sports Marion. Writer is in Marion. He was a basketball player for Marion on probably, arguably, one of the best high school teams back in the 80s in the nation. I mean, they were incredible. They had five players, most of which I think all of them played Division I, the five starters, went to Division I schools. An amazing team. I would love to say I was a part of that team. I wasn't.
Well, maybe the name recognition will help you out at the ballot box.
I'm not gonna say anything. The other thing is,
some may think, oh yeah,
I know that guy. Yes. No, so then there's a former judge in town named Tom Hunt. And Tom is a great guy, well-known, a great judge. So I get asked a lot, you know, "Are you Tom Hunt's son?" And my response is normally, and I say this in jest, I said, "Well, is it going to help me?"
Yeah.
then I said, no, I'm not. So it's just been a whirlwind. But Scott J. Hunt for prosecutor of Grant County.
Well, I don't think you have like a better name really than that. And it could lead, you know, to some pretty good campaign slogans like, let me hunt the criminals down for you, or things of that nature. You thought about that? Any slogans? Or
I don't have any slogans. Nothing yet. This is still a relatively new development, and some of those things just they come out naturally. So
you did. I think you mentioned before we got on the air that you had some key words that you were wanting to. That were really, as you talked about, believing that the Lord's like calling you to this, that were some key concepts in mind. Why don't you share those with us?
Yeah. So my campaign is based on integrity, leadership, and commitment. And I say those things for a very specific reason. To be given the great privilege of serving as a prosecuting attorney, you have to have integrity. What most people probably don't think about and don't understand is the prosecuting attorney has great discretion, and that discretion can be used in a very good way, a godly way. Mm-hmm. It can also be used in a self-serving way. And I'm not accusing, I want to make sure people understand, I'm not accusing anybody of not having integrity, but it takes integrity to do this job, which means sometimes you have to say no. You have to make the hard decisions. And so it takes a man of integrity, and I am a man of integrity. I strive to be a man of good character and integrity, which leads to the second, which is leadership. You know, you can't, Moses couldn't run all of Israel on his own. And so the Lord provided him elders to help rule. In a prosecutor's office, the elected prosecutor cannot micromanage and run every aspect of the office. But what that leader, that prosecutor should do is lead by training, lead by example, and lead by coming alongside of people, not by letting people do what they need, what they want to do. It starts up top. There's a trickle-down effect of being the elected prosecutor. And finally, it takes commitment. This is not a 9-to-5 job that I'm running for. It is a job that requires difficult things. It's a job that will wake you up in the middle of the night to go out and go on crime scenes sometimes to assist law enforcement in getting search warrants and arrest warrants. It takes a commitment to put in the effort every day to do justice. And that's what I seek to do. So those are the three key points that I'm running on. And as much as I would like to say more, I'm not going to get dirty. I'm not going to sling mud. I'm not going to berate another person. There are things I disagree with how things are going in my office. And because of that, I feel like I have been called. I don't feel like I have been called to run for this office.
Well, that's a very helpful summary and some good principles to stand upon, I believe. What is the landscape to help our listeners understand of the election? So I imagine you're running in a primary. Are there other candidates announced at this point in time?
No. So the deadline is February 4th. Of this year. So at the airing of this show, it's already passed. At the recording, so far, only two people have filed, the elected prosecutor now and me. So it looks like it's just going to be a head-to-head in the primary election.
Both of the same party.
Same party. And then we will see what happens. You know, if I win the primary, we'll see what happens in the general election. Grant County is generally tilts more toward one party than another. And I'm run, you know, so most everybody who runs for countywide offices runs on the same party. So, oops, sorry about that. I don't look for, there could be, but I don't look for a general election candidate running against whoever wins the primary.
So if you were to win the primary, the most likely scenario is that by default, you would be ready to, there'd still be the vote in November, but.
Yes. I mean, that's the hope. Now, I'm not saying I don't want there to be, or I hope there's not. Generally, there is not. Generally, it's just once you make it past the primary, you're pretty much unopposed. That could change. I mean, somebody might not like me enough to actually run. But sure.
And again, you can answer this question to the level you feel comfortable doing so, because obviously it's a little bit awkward, right? That you're running against the man that right now is would be considered your boss. I guess I'll frame the question this way. How can we best pray for that situation? Because I have to imagine that's makes you a little uncomfortable when you walk into the office.
I'll answer the question first, then I'll tell you how you can pray for me. Yeah, before I announced publicly that I was running, I committed myself to calling my boss and telling him, because that is what courtesy is owed to him. And I told him in the office, he is still the boss. And I will tell everybody unless I get elected and until I'm elected and in place in office, he is the boss of that office. And so I committed myself to him that I would not seek to undermine his authority in that office. I don't think that is beneficial to the community. It's not beneficial to the office. Now, I know there's going to be issues that would arise, and I'm planning for those contingencies, and I've given thought about those contingencies and how I'm going to respond. It is certainly not easy, and it will not be easy to continue in this, I guess, in that situation. Thankfully, it's only 3 months, so we will know in 3 months what happens, and then we'll move on from there. So the best way to pray for me is, one, that the people in the office would not be divided, that they would honor their commitment to serve their master. And I'm saying that in a biblical sense, not that he's running the place like a master or anything, but that they have an employer and they have agreed to work for the elected prosecutor, and they need to honor that. Mm-hmm. And they need to do what he says, even if it makes me mad. And I'm not going to hold anybody. I'm not going to hold a grudge or be upset with anybody who has to do their job that may be different than what I would want done. That is what they're supposed to do. So they need to do it. So pray for one, that there would be peace in the office. Mm-hmm. And then, and for me as well, that I would be able to display that godly character of trusting and, doing the right thing, doing the next right thing.
Well, that's very helpful. Explain a little bit to us how, if you were to be the chief prosecuting attorney there, how would that change the nature of your daily work?
So instead of just being over one court and a certain number of cases, in reality, my name would be on every case filed. So I would have there would be a lot more of an administrative oversight of the deputies.
How many deputies are there?
I think there are, I don't have an exact number because it's kind of in flux. We have open positions. I think we have 5 deputy prosecutors, a chief deputy prosecutor, and then the elected prosecutor. Okay. So I would be over 6 or 7 people.
Make sure you get that number exact.
I would seek to change the way some of the things are set up.
Sure.
Not that it's worked, but there are just some changes that need to be made and will have to be made. So I don't know exactly how many I will have, but so I would be in charge of that. But the one thing that I would do is I would make sure that I was involved in all of the important cases, the difficult trials. So you're talking the rapes, the homicides, the molests, the armed batter or the armed robberies resulting in bodily injury. Those kind of cases, they demand somebody to be on them with experience. And so I would come alongside, and it's not that I would hog them for myself. I would come alongside the deputy prosecutor who is assigned that case and work with them. And because two is better than one, right? I mean, it's always better to have somebody right there with you in some of these difficult things. So, that and just the budget and, office management, a lot of the less glamorous things, that takes place. And I'm sure you understand being president, there are some glamorous things that you get to do, but there are other things that are just, you know, not so glamorous. And pastors, you feel the same way, right?
Right.
Because if you have a clogged toilet, sometimes you just got to go unclog the toilet. It's not glamorous, but it's just the work that you do. So there's that part of it too.
I see.
Although I don't think I'll have to unclog toilets.
Awesome. Isn't there an outward facing aspect to the role as well, where you have to interact more with the public and particularly the media?
Yeah. So, and this is the part of the issue is that the prosecutor needs to be the face of the office and needs to be the backbone of the office. And so, yeah, I would, when there's news conferences or when there anything like that, you would expect the prosecutor to go. And that's what I would do. And I would answer some tough questions, you know, working with law enforcement closely, dealing with the judges and, you know, getting feedback from them. And to be honest with you, dealing with the public defenders, the criminal defense attorneys, there's an aspect where that needs to be done because, you know, I was talking to a criminal defense attorney even today. And I said, listen, you have an important role to play in this system. And I really do appreciate you. So while we are adversarial, it's important to have a good working relationship with those, you know, the criminal defense attorneys. Otherwise, you're just going to gum up the works and there's not going to be any justice done at all. Mm-hmm. So there's all of those things that go into running a prosecutor's office as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember on a previous episode, we were talking about, I remember you talking about representing, I think it was the really difficult case that you were mm-hmm. going through at the time, and just how you have to be careful as you advocate, even for victims, that you have to make sure you don't press the victims too far. And what they're able to handle. And sometimes you have to make bartering arrangements with the defense just to protect the victim, even when you would wish perhaps there could be something greater done to the criminal. So yeah, I'm sure you have to talk through all those types of things with defense lawyers.
Yeah. And with the victims themselves. So oftentimes, like in my current role, I meet with victims quite often. And so I have to talk through difficult things. That we do have, there's a victim's advocate in our office that I work closely with, and I would continue to work closely with if elected. And the point there is the victims do need a voice in this process, and you know their voice needs to be heard. Sometimes it's not always easy. You have some victims that don't want anything to happen. Sometimes you want victims that want the book thrown at somebody, and it's just not there. So there's dealing with the public as well. And it's the prosecutor needs to be the one having those hard conversations. So that's part of it.
Well, I really feel like what's happened is 3GT's really become your training ground. So you know, you come on here, you get grilled by Kyle and me and have to give ready quick answers. And so we've really trained you for this. Again, Jason Thoman, you mentioned he was the one that suggested you for this role. So it seems like he's just sort of laid your whole life out for you.
I know. I bless your heart, Jason. Just stop talking.
Yes. Well, you've got 3 months
3 months
before the election. what will be your focus between now and then? What do you imagine your campaign will look like, generally speaking?
So there's probably four parts to the campaign. The first is social media presence. So Facebook page to just spread news.
You're getting your webpage tonight, you said, early starting on it.
Yeah. I'm getting that started tonight, so it should be up and running.
We'll have to put a link on.
Yeah, you may.
I'm sure we have hundreds of 3GT listeners in Grant County.
I'm sure we do. would love to have more, but so that's one aspect of it. So there's a social media presence. There is the fundraising, you know, get gatherings at people's houses and those kind of things. So social interaction, that's a big part of it, you know. So events, I'm going to have to go to events and, you know, I don't want to, it's not politicking. I mean, it's what it looks like, but it's really to get your name out there and just hear what people have to say and their concerns and their desires. Mm-hmm. So it's out there. The third aspect is going to be, I assume, a debate or two that will take place, which there, interestingly enough, the last election, there was not a debate. I don't know if there will be this election or not. So, you know,
are you going to ask for one?
I have no reason not to. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have a debate.
Maybe we got to get Kyle back on here just so he can keep
train me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the fourth and probably the most important is just the door to door. So it's like taking the gospel, right? I mean, you have the preaching of the word, you have, you know, get togethers, you have fellowship and all that, but it's really when you get into, the lives of people and you meet with them face to face and you talk, that's when those opportunities really, present themselves to express yourself and make that connection. So there will be a lot of door to door. Thankfully, I have four kids who are to say they are excited is an understatement. They are thrilled.
Wow.
They will support me. However,
I mean, I didn't expect anything differently, but that's fun to hear.
Yeah. And so it was interesting to tell them that I was going to be running because at first it was almost like a look of disbelief and then joy came over their face and, oh yeah, this is so awesome. So that's just been a real heartwarming thing. And so those are just some of the neat things that I'm experiencing now.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm supposed to be out in Marion in a few weeks. And so I hope to drive in and, you know, see a big billboard with your face on it or something like that.
I don't know that I don't have a face for a billboard.
I think you strike a good pose there. So
I don't know. So, you know, there are rules and regulations about when you can put signs up and all of those things. So,
oh yeah. You don't want to break the law running for prosecuting.
No, that's like the big no-no right there. You got to keep everything by the book. I mean, you don't want to break the law if you're running for anything, right?
Right.
Or even if you're not running for anything, you don't want to break the law, but you know, I just want to be very careful.
Yes,
because it's important.
I can imagine. Well, and I you mentioned earlier, sensing God's call and, of course, just being in public service like this and really seeking to bring justice to a broken world is an important role. So mm-hmm. We're glad for that. And I know you'll be drawing upon your faith and your family mm-hmm. strength and others around you that I know are supportive of this. Now, did I also hear the rumor that your pastor is serving as a campaign manager for another election?
Yeah. So Jason and you know, Jason's been such a
this is Jason Camry.
Jason Camry, not Jason Thoman. But Jason Camry, I blame him too. I actually sent Jason a text. I blame you and Jason Thoman for me running. Because he's always, you know, say, hey, you know, you should run for prosecutor. But Jason is working on a campaign for a candidate for sheriff here in town. So it's been very valuable for me to talk to Jason. I'm trying not to take too much of his time, but he's, you know, he's offered help in any way he can with me as well. And I'm going to use it for sure. But yeah, Jason's been working on a candidate for sheriff. So that's exciting to hear too. Good guy running for sheriff. And so, yeah, I've been leaning a little bit heavy on Jason recently.
Yeah. Well, these are exciting developments, and we'll be sure to keep our listeners up to date on any new developments. Never intended 3GT to be a news organization or even a place where people can campaign, but I think we helped. Wasn't there an episode where Rachel, Kyle's wife, was running for librarian or something? So,
I think we talked about that, yeah.
You know, talked about that, so maybe we do this more often than...
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Again, we thought you would enjoy just hearing this news regarding Scott. And it does... we are sincere. We would ask you to pray for him as he goes through this period of time. Being in the public eye is no easy business, particularly when you're going after those who are committing crimes. So we will be praying for you, Scott, and looking Thank forward you. To seeing how the Lord leads in all of this. Well, that's all we have for today. If you'd like more 3GT, all you got to do is go over to our website at 3GT.xyz, where you can listen to old episodes and learn more about the podcast. We don't have a donate to Scott J. Hunt's campaign button there, but you can donate to us and to keep us on the air. And we will try to maybe get a link so you can just see Scott's website and some of the things that are going on, events surrounding his election in these weeks ahead. Thank you for listening to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing.